going to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the Lord was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We saw in verse 23 that it said that we were kept by the law, shut up under the faith. Now, what that means is we were put like up in Featherstone, or someone like Featherstone. We were shut up, absolutely closed up. Now, but we come here, wherefore the schoolmaster must bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But ye are but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now what it means is this, that just as from Adam to Moses and to every generation up to the Lord Jesus coming Christ, it showed that God was shut up. They couldn't get quit, and it was to unfold God's purposes. Now, don't think that you have two types of confinement. You have two types, not just the one. The one is like perfectly shut up. The other is that changed and later on became something different. So we don't really now have the takeaway of the Ten Commandments fully on us. We have it taken away from us. That is very clear. The law of sacrifice, blood and bulls and goats and sprinkling of the ashes of heifer and the rest, that is gone. All the ceremonial forms of the priest has gone. All that is gone. We have become freedom. Now, I want you to think very carefully, think of it, because we have now a saved change. You see, we're saved, we were completely under the schoolmaster, now we're freedom from the schoolmaster at the right place. So many are saved from it. Now what is then the use of the law? What was this law? It was a schoolmaster. Now you and I think of a schoolmaster, it's the old word, means pedagogue in the Greek, and you think of it as a pedagogue was somebody like somebody who taught them others at school, maths or Greek or French or English, whatever it was, they taught them at school. But that's not so. That doesn't mean schoolmaster here. We're not meaning somebody who's got a school teacher and got a people round us. That's not what the Bible is talking about at all. So forget the idea that you've got a school teacher. What you've got instead is this. When you had a noble Roman, or a big Roman family, or even an ordinary one, mostly boys only went to girl, went to school. Girls didn't. A few did, but few. What happened with the boys was, you know what a lad is like. He just goes where's he got. He crumbs along the road and he looks at things are there and kicks them along and goes slowly, and he doesn't go properly to school teacher at all. And when he's at school, especially if he had a lot of money behind them, the teacher was a bit afraid to tell him too much, so he behaved pretty badly. This, the worst of it, happened in about the 18th century, after, you know, everything we did according to Roman law, and you will find the Georgia 1st and 2nd and 3rd, a lot of them, what they had was this. A lad was sent, he's the prince, and sent another lad with him, who was nothing a prince, someone else, and the king said, now if you do anything wrong, I will send a whip boy. And a whipping boy is the one who will put things right. So if you kick the schoolmaster would beat you with for it, because they wouldn't kick the prince. Now this came back out of the old Roman law. The Roman law was this. Mostly they had a slave, not all, but mostly, who took the lad to school. And when he went to school, this father or mother said to him, now behave strictly. And they meant it. So they could whip him till it bled. They could make his life a misery. In fact, many little boys who grow up in this had a horrible life. They had a really badly life. They were so knocked around, so kicked and beaten and told everything. They weren't allowed even to laugh. They were told not to do such a thing. They were not allowed to smile or cry or have little school jokes or pranks. Nothing that. They were allowed to walk along there with their schools, and all the time you with the stick behind them, making sure you kept going. That boys had to come like that. That's what this schoolmaster means. It means this school, who's a slave, sent to you with the pupil to the school, and you've got to keep him in strict order. Now, at one time, that's exactly what Moses was doing. He was keeping everything in absolute strict order. And that's how he did it. Now, some of those school teachers were very cruel and very nasty to them. They took an opportunity of it, and they gave the boys a terrible time of it. In fact, until they were about 13, the boys had a really appalling time. The boys from the rich families, they weren't allowed to do anything. Even thing they went to bed and got up, they had to do everything over it. And they were in fear. So they were really worse like a slave. I wouldn't even say that they were as good as a slave. These lads who had brought them in were left there in a horrible position. And they did have a bad position of it. Now, that is what this means when it says this pedagogue, this school teacher, is coming. He's taking you to school with your backs. They used to tie them on a bit of paper or of string round them and come it to back. And they say, you'll come, and if you fill in any little way tall, then I am going to beat you severely. And I'm going to make life hard for it. And the little lad went home with his tears every time. And the parents didn't care. They just left him. If you want to read of a home like that, read the home of the man who brought back Christianity to this and brought the schools to us. Just you read about his back and you'll find that he lived so much that he had a terrible time. The first person who ever took the least hope in was a lady who looked after us as a school teacher. It was a dreadful life. Now, in that dreadful life, discipline was the great thing. Get disciplined into the boy. Don't let anybody move a single way. Don't do anything he's not due to. Just discipline, night and day, night and day. And that is how Roman lives lived. The object was to get schoolmasters who were military. And they wanted military schools. And they wanted military clothes, everything. You'll find Germany before the First World War, if you look at their lives, you'll find that military was everything. And you'll find in business like Eton and schools like that, where everything was determined to put them on the military line and teach them. Now, that's how the Romans brought theirs up. And that's how it was with their lads were brought up. And that is how Moses brought you up. And God intend to bring you up there. That is how it is. So let's see it there. Now, when the lad was 30 years old, or about 13, he was suddenly freed of it. He suddenly was the one in charge of the pupil and of the pedagogue, the slave. He was the one who was got it going. From then on, he was a good time. So then, you have to think about what God is telling you here about when you suddenly changed from being a dreadful time to suddenly to being a time when everything you were had, everything, you were the in charge of the family and everything else ahead, money and everything came. It suddenly changed about it. Now, that's exactly how it had to be done. And they did it diligently. Now, what did God then do to people before Jesus Christ came, before the schoolmaster Moses had left them? Well, I'll tell you the first thing, never show any kindness. Many of the teachers who led these little lads down didn't have any kindness whatsoever. There wasn't this trace of nice gentleness and smiles or anything. All was strict and stick. And they did literally knock them down into them. There was nothing kindness about it. And then there was nothing about conscience in it either. That was it. You look at standard God's government. Not a single word, not a single action Moses you were allowed, without it immediately you'd gone wrong. Everything. If you did it a littlest bit, you'd not even think of it in thought. Because if you did it in thought, then you'd done it. If you looked on a woman, if you did something in your mind, well, Moses had you on it quick onto him and were beating you. And that is exactly how the thing went. It was a very rough and hard life. And Moses put you in roughing hard life with the law. You see what God's doing to you? Now, right up to when Jesus came, there was this dreadful law that every word, everything, a lot of the law in the old world, you could not say, I'm sorry, I repent. They wouldn't accept that. You were out, finish. And you were, they'd actually get your own parents to stone him to death. It was done. The law was a very strict business at all. And we've got to get that away. Now, when we leave the Lord Jesus Christ, we suddenly change to a complete way of thinking. And one of the silly things that's happening is many people are moving to the absolute opposite. Like it happens outside. You get a girl who's very strictly brought up and she's not allowed to do that and the other, and you'll see the one with the shortest skirts and all the rest, he's got them. And the reason is because they've suddenly got freedom. And whoop, they're back, and you see them with far more lipstick than anybody else and all the rest of it. You'll find that's how it goes, isn't it? Well, that where you think about it very thing. You've got to do something about it. Now, the result of Moses was this, that every single stain on your law, on your soul, every time you lost, you were finished eternally. You had the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's what Moses meant. Nothing to get out. You hadn't got a clue of what to do about it. You could plead, but you'll never know if he'll let you out. You never were certain. So then, God's law for you was taken perfect, and you couldn't take one single way out of it. Never. Now that's what it means by a law school teacher of to bring us unto Christ. You've got this dreadful time they had under Moses and under all the other priests and under all the other prophets, the whole lot of them, and you had to tremble for it. Now, what does happens when the school teacher lets him go? What happened when he's older, at 13? Well, he gets a rather good idea of himself, and you'll find that often with, if you get a new, say, person who's just at school at work, and you watch him, he's got big ideas of himself, which aren't good at all. They're a nuisance and are silly. And that's what's happening there. A rather good idea of himself. So, what does Moses do? He takes you down to yourself. Now, until Christ comes, one of the things God is doing to you is saying you have far too good idea of yourself. And that's one reason why the school teacher is there under us, to tell us, stop this silly talk and this foolish way, and look at the way he really is in life. So he then says, another thing he does is quite a lot of young people today hang themselves or take some aspirins or something and kill themselves. Why does he do this? Because they can see there's no way out. There's no future. Moses is there, bang, 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 on you every time you move around. Young people feel like that. They feel there is no future. You can see them all round. You'll get them hundreds a year going round in our own land, apart from all the others. There is a feel about it that it's impossible. Moses will never give you one single nice thing out of life, but he'll just give you now until you die, and then you'll get put into hell. And that's how it rather looks like. Oh, now, that makes life difficult, doesn't it? But you see, what is getting a schoolmaster is something else. It comes afterwards. He's only beginning to put people down and only beginning to say to them, listen, there is a hope. There's a way out of this. So that's what he begins. Now that happened in your life and it happened in my life. I can remember when I felt that it was all hopeless. There was no getting out of it. I could understand the law, understand it fully, and I could see I wasn't doing it. And I felt miserable with it, didn't you ever? I felt absolutely devastated by it. And I used to think at times, well, the best way of it would be out of it and away from it. What's the use? I'll never manage it. I'm not that sort of a person. I'll never get it right in my life. That's how this schoolmaster begins. He starts by showing you that there is a door of hope, something that's coming to you, that you're not just put there, down there by God to live in horrible hell. That's what he's talking about. Now, what's he going to do? When Moses went to it, it's like the you go out and does something in the room, outside. Say a person goes to the, and drinks. And the schoolmaster appears. Oh, and he doesn't say, well, I know you've just had a special event tonight or something. They say, all it is, you're a drunkard. Out you go. Get into the cells, and then you make deal with him. But you see, it isn't like that now. When Christ came in, something began to open the way. And that's what's happening. The schoolmaster has opened the door and say, no, the policeman, he won't hear a word of anything. But the schoolmaster will listen. And good schoolmasters, I don't know about yours, but I had good ones and the old ones, they would listen. And they could see and deal with you in a sensible fashion. And so my mother and others, father, they understood. And so I hope you've been. You begin to see there is hope ending. It's not all this uselessness at the back. And that's what I'm getting at with you. This is what the school teacher is here to do it. Now, circumstances, well, you don't have to worry all the time about circumstances because there is the schoolmaster who brings us. He's bring us out of this horrible mess we're in, which in the verse before we call it just a prison. And he's beginning to show us some way out. And this out is very important. Oh, I wish people would do it. Now, let me remember I spoke to you once of John Bunyan. Now, when John Bunyan spoke about this, John Bunyan said, when I got into difficulty with the sin in my life, I used to sometimes spend it all night just lying down there worrying about what would I do about sin. I couldn't see a way out of my sin. And he said that there was a very nasty cudgel. He was a nasty person, and he came with his great big cudgel, and he used to beaten up and beat old John Bunyan. He said, and if you look at Martin Luther, when Martin Luther was under conviction of sin, he used to lie on the cold floor in the nun monastery, lie there in his cell and beat his own self till his own self flesh beaten with the trouble of his own skin. And he did more than that. He used to hold up hundreds and hundreds of Our Father which art in heaven, Ave Maria, and all the thing of it of Mary. He did it, all of it, and he did everything he could in order to make life difficult. He went out barefoot, and in the snow, in Erfurt, he was going out to the houses and begging off the people so that the monks could get the money to feed on. And that's what he was doing. He was doing it because his conscience, it was beating him all the time. Night and day, he couldn't get this conscience out of him. And frankly, if you've not known that, I don't believe you've ever been known converted. I know when it came to me, when the cudgel got hold of me and beat and beat and beat me all through my life as a school teacher, of bringing me as a young lad. Oh, I understood it all. I understood very well. And I know what they went through. Have you never been in it? Because everything you're going to go through, you'll never really understand Jesus unless you understood the way this nasty Moses school teacher kept beating and beating you. And when he got you there, he'd get the whole of fire and hell and brimstone and terrible terror, and he'd make it till you trembled. And there's many, many a man has said that afterwards he began to cry. And he was a man, and he wasn't a little wimp either, because he realized that the thing was horrible. And I can tell you, people who get converted like this, that they begin to realize what a horrible mess you're in, what way you can't get out anyway. Now that's how it went. Now, what shall we do then to him? Well, we have to come to the schoolmaster properly. Now, I'm not talking about just that little bit of opening the door. Some of us get that little bit of opening the door. What does he do? Well, first of all, he says, there is hope. And that is the great need you have in life, that there is hope. And that is what our young people become today. There is hope. I can see that the government and the Penal League of they're all trying to do something about it, but they're not doing it the right way. The right way is when there's hope in Jesus. And that's what they begin to say. There's hope. So then, there are two different types of sin. It says there is sin in 1 John that it has no way out and it goes to hell. And there is a sin that's forgiven to us. Now, the school teacher starts to say to you, look, there's a way out of this. And immediately you don't believe it. I don't believe one of you do. You say, that's impossible. That couldn't be in my mind. How could he possibly be? A very few people quickly understand, but if you're like me, it took a long, long time before I understood what it meant to actually see that there was a way out. It was a very long way, and it's the way that I went down it. You see, the modern way the government and others do is do it by making it easy and simple, and saying, well, if they all do this and you do that. That's what they're at with Muslims today. They're really saying today, we can't hold the Muslims. They're killing us in Nairobi or wherever it is, and we can't hold it. So what we're going to do is make us change so the Muslims will be easier to deal with. And that's what the government is it. That's how they did it with the IRA and the rest. They do it that way. Where they say, well, we have to just give up and let them go ahead with it. And that's the wrong way. That is not the schoolmaster brings us to Christ. That is how the government tries to keep things in a certain way of doing it. Now, again, we very soon find that we have something else to us. We are drivers to Christ. We realize that I couldn't get out myself, but Christ could and can. And many, many millions have come to that one condition. Christ could forgive me. He could put away all my sin. He could do with everything that I was wretched with and make me into a new person. Have you received that? Is that yours? Do you know what it is for Jesus to forgive and sin? That son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith has made thee whole. Have they ever happened? Because until they've happened, you've never been converted. That's why I changed. That's why I changed, and it's why you do. Can you see the schoolmaster? And what a wonderful thing it is that God given us Jesus as our schoolmaster to bring us outside this terrible schoolmaster of Moses, to bring us out to sea into a beautiful world. And I found that I changed from a horrid, difficult world, which I could never feel happy about, till I got to where I could really love it and find that there was a peace and liberty and freedom. I am not meaning that some people live like pigs in the slums. I do not mean that they have whatever they want to do with their own nasty ways they behave and all their dirty old evil ways. That's not what we're meaning about this. We go on with the law, but we're freed from it. I'm in Jesus. I've come out of the difficulty and I've come into the danger of the law, into the wonderful liberty of Jesus by having that liberty of Christ. Christ is my liberty. Christ, he's automatically my liberty. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the moment we love him, we find we keep his commandments. We don't come here every Sunday because we think that it's something to do in churches. We come because we know about the Lord Jesus and we love to have his word come to us. It's everything. This is what's law. So it wasn't the way of just kicking ourselves away all the time, nor of saying, well, it's all or nothing, doesn't matter. If they do all this, then they're just making a mistake out of it. All you've got to do is live in a bad life and live a happy life and God will get you through. That's not it. This is when he brings us out of prison, out of all the nastiness, out of the law of Sinai, and he brings us into the laws of Jesus. Now, have you understood that? That's why all this is put, Paul has put there. I think they're the most wonderful words that ever can be. Now, what should we do? Well, I'll tell you what the things I'm freed from. I'm freed from sin. Sin is the greatest trouble you and I have. And I'm freed of it. I'm out of it. I don't care what people say. I know I'm a fallible and poor little human being, but I know I'm sinful. For by Jesus, he keeps cleansing me and keeps on bringing me back. And then I know that I have, and the only other thing I'd say, if there's many other things I could, is that I have freedom from death. Now, I fight to keep my way of life. I fight for Jesus' sake, but I'm free to death. One day death will go, I'll take it gladly. Do you know when I faced it that I thought I was dying? Only not too long ago over what happened to me. I was happy. I faced it up clearly in my life. I could have gone happy that way and go to Jesus. I wouldn't feel worried. I would like to, and a strait betwixt two, to be with Christ, which is far better, but also with other people have needs of us. And that's why I asked him, don't make me go until I have to. And that's so with you. God has a way. God's put aside all that's sin, and God's given you freedom, ultimate freedom into heaven. Amen.